And at the Crazy Donkey, they'll have Jedi Mind Tricks. Marcy Geller and David Goldman will be at the Eclectic Cafe at the UU Fellowship. And Buttered Soul will be performing at Bobby Q. Hey, if you have a gig you'd like read on the concert billboard, please shoot us an email to scene@wusb.fm. That's S-C-E-N-E at wusb.fm. You can only hear the concert billboard right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
It's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time for Off the Wall. One of these days, I'm just going to say that and play music for the entire rest of the hour and see what kind of reaction we get here. But no, I've got more to say tonight. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this auspicious Tuesday evening. It's always an auspicious Tuesday evening, although it feels like a Monday for some reason. I know why, because of the holiday weekend. Yesterday felt like a Sunday, so today feels like a Monday, and I almost didn't show up. And I almost did the things I do on Monday instead. Yes, and I'm not going to say what those things are. But yeah, you know, is it over? Is it really finished? Is summer at an end? I mean, everyone's doing the autumnal things now, going to school and, well, not raking leaves or anything like that, but just not going to beaches. Not that I go to beaches either, but it's just what people do in the summertime here in New York. And now that September has rolled around and Labor Day is gone, we have our little set patterns we have to abide by, and I guess that's just the way people are going to be from this point on. It's still summer, though. It's summer for another 2 weeks. So I guess those of you who live a bit of an alternative life, well, you can still enjoy summer while everybody else is not. Although, to do that, of course, you have to have summer temperatures, and well, you know, they're warm temperatures, but they're not oppressive. And I kind of like it that way. Made it the whole summer without putting in my air conditioner, so I'm pleased with that. Yeah. It's the fall semester here at Stony Brook, and everybody's wandering around in a daze, as they're prone to do at this time of year. But that's just part of the way things are, I guess, right? And I think the public schools have started now, right? Yeah. Yeah, I see a look of misery on the faces of kids out there, so that must have happened too. Summer is really over. Summer vacation is over, okay? But summer is not yet over. All right. We have a lot of things to talk about tonight. It's kind of a monumental news week, I suppose. And we'd like to take phone calls, so those of you out there, you know, I'd like to know. It's just a bit of curiosity on my part. I'd like to know if anybody on campus actually is listening. Yeah, imagine that. We get calls from, you know, all over the place. From Mongolia and Alaska, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Sometimes Long Island even, but I don't know if we get calls from on campus. So, a special invitation to those of you out there, maybe if you know somebody. If you're listening in California and you know somebody who goes to Stony Brook, call them and tell them to give us a call later on here at the radio station. We'll take phone calls probably in about a half hour or so. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. But, if you're on campus, you can save a lot of time. You just have to dial the last five digits. You just have to dial 2-WUSB. As if you were making a phone call to WUSB. That's how you can remember it. Yeah. And you'll get in front of all the lines that way, too. It's incredible. And I think, not sure about this, but I think you can ring the phone forever. You know, let's try it ourselves. Can we get a dial tone? You have a dial tone? Okay. I'm going to call WUSB right now and see if we can make it ring forever. Because usually what happens is the phone company gets greedy and decides that that they're not making any money. So what they have to do is start charging you or hang up and make you call again. But if you're calling from on campus, it doesn't cost anything because it's all one system. And I think what we can do is simply have it ring 1,000 times. Imagine that. So you could actually start calling now and we'd have to pay attention, wouldn't we? That's a sound of power. It really is. All right. How long should I keep this going for? Keep this going for the entire hour, I suppose, just to prove a point. Well, our phone number is 631-632-9872, and I think I have proven the point. Give it five more rings, all right? Just to make sure it doesn't go anywhere else or disconnect or anything like that. It'll keep ringing forever. See, that's one of those amazing advantages to going to Stony Brook is that you can call off the wall and not be disconnected. Yeah. I suppose also if you're admitted to the hospital, you can do the same thing because you're on the same system. But it's better to go to campus and go to college and learn things than to be operated on. Usually. Okay. 631-632-9872. We'll be taking phone calls, like I said, in about a half hour. Okay, did anybody listen to the speech today? Yeah, the Obama speech is what I'm talking about. Now, this was an incredible story. I was flabbergasted. I'm not often flabbergasted, but I was flabbergasted because I saw this headline last week, and I just could not figure it out. I could not understand it. I heard about the healthcare speech, which is happening tomorrow, and that's going to be interesting in and of itself. We'll talk about that a little bit, too. But this was a speech that Obama was giving to school kids, and it's incredible. The reaction that I'm seeing from your average, everyday American people out there, and certain average everyday American people out there, not everybody obviously, but there's just a certain type of person right now who is reacting with outrage. Obama opens up the front door. Oh my God, how can we allow that to happen? He's wearing a suit and tie. Why? Well, it never end. Yeah. What's he getting away with, this guy? Everything he does is some kind of a crime. He wants to speak to school kids. Oh my God, what a horrible thing. The headline reads, "Many conservatives enraged over Obama's school speech." Yeah, and I saw that. I'm like, well, what's he saying to the school kids that have them outraged? And the fact of the matter is, they had no idea. They had no idea what he was going to say. Didn't matter. They just didn't want him talking to their kids. Didn't want the black man talking to their kids. That's really what it boils down to. And so many people, I'm not saying it boils down to that in everybody. There are some people who just don't like him and they don't care what color he is. But there are other people who are really terrified. They're terrified at what's going on in Washington, D.C. Now, you know, if you look around you, you look around what's going on. We haven't started any new wars. There haven't been any new terrorist attacks or any real instances of incompetence that I can see anyway coming out of Washington, D.C. So what reason is there to be terrified? That's what I don't get. Now, under Bush, yeah, you know, there was reason to be terrified because the guy was a loose cannon. He had no idea what he was doing. He thought military intervention was the answer to everything. Could not string a sentence together to save his life. And by all rights, was not elected to the office. Was placed there. So, you know, you had a few things going for you. Even with that, though, even with all that, if G.W. Bush had wanted to address school kids in a speech, I don't picture many of his opponents would have said, no way, that's a horrible thing. We have to stop this at all costs. I think a lot of people would have been content to just sort of sit back and see what happened, you know, and have some good fodder for the late night talk shows. But in this case, wow, it's unbelievable. But let's take a look at how this story started to unfold. The White House found itself on the defensive on Friday over what would ordinarily be considered the most uncontroversial of events, a back-to-school speech to the nation's children. The White House said the address, set for Tuesday, i.e. today, and accompanying suggested lesson plans are simply meant to encourage students to study hard and stay in school. Many conservative parents aren't buying it. They're convinced the president is going to use the opportunity to press a partisan political agenda on impressionable young minds. Oh yeah, that's a smart thing to do. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go out and try to get sixth graders and junior high kids to buy into all of his plans and to pressure mommy and daddy to support him as well. That kind of thing, you know, people might see through that. And I think he's a bit more intelligent than that. I really do. Listen to this. "Thinking about my kids in school, having to listen to that just really upsets me," says suburban Colorado mom Shanine Barron. "I'm an American. They are Americans. And I don't feel that's okay." What in God's name is she talking about? "I'm an American. They are American." who is not an American here, exactly? Well, I think I know where she's coming from. Probably one of these people who thinks that he's some illegal alien or something like that. Can't prove his citizenship because he keeps refusing to produce that birth certificate. Yeah, that must be it. "Anyway, I feel very scared to be in the country with our leadership right now. Very scared. Oh, yeah, scary times. Yeah, the communism is just around the corner. Al-Qaeda being led down Pennsylvania Avenue. Scary times." School administrators were caught in the middle of the controversy. Some decided to show the president's speech, while others decided not to. Many, such as Wellesley, Massachusetts Superintendent Bella Wong, are deciding on a class-by-class basis, leaving the decision in the hands of individual teachers. "The president of the United States has asked us to facilitate his outreach to students, and in that vein, we've decided to honor the request. We'll trust in his judgment." You know, I'm not one for blind leadership or following people into the chasm of doom, but it doesn't seem like asking all that much, you know, to say a few words to a group of people. Republican leaders have not shied away from the debate. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, a possible contender for the GOP's 2012 presidential nomination, so get used to that name, said on Friday the classroom is no place to show a video address from Obama. "At a minimum, it's disruptive. Number two, it's uninvited. And who can invite him, I guess? That's a question to ask. Anyway, number three, if people would like to hear his message, they can, on a voluntary basis, go to YouTube or some other source and get it. I don't think he needs to force it upon the nation's school children. Oh, I just love how they just keep shoveling it with both hands. Florida GOP Chairman Jim Greer released a statement accusing Obama of using taxpayer money to indoctrinate children. As the father of four children, I am absolutely appalled that taxpayer dollars are being used to spread President Obama's socialist ideology. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's what it's all about, the socialism. If I hear this one more time, I'm going to go ballistic. How Obama is introducing socialism to this country. You know, the only way Obama is introducing socialism to this country is at a very great distance. And by holding up maybe a copy of socialism and saying, hey, folks, look, this is what socialism looks like. But it's not being introduced in any policies. It's not being introduced in any speeches or any rhetoric or anything like that. And honestly, you know, I don't think it would be that bad a thing if it were. I think there are a lot of things we can learn from all different societies, socialism being one of them. Remember, socialism is simply an economic system. And communism is another economic system. You hear the controversy over somebody who was actually in the White House, who was a card-carrying communist. Oh, my God. Obama's actually listening to somebody from a different point of view. And, of course, this person was kicked out very quickly. It makes me wonder, have we progressed much from the 1950s? Where you hear a particular catchphrase and all of a sudden everyone has to panic. I don't think socialism is much of a threat to the way of life here. I really don't think so. And there are many societies that have a whole mix of different philosophies, different ways of doing things. You can look at healthcare in some countries that are capitalist countries, even right-wing countries, and yet these health systems could be said to be somewhat socialist. In fact, you could even look at things like Medicare and say that's a bit socialist, but nobody's fighting to get rid of that, are they? Sometimes things work. The idea that school children across our nation will be forced to watch the president justify his plans is not only infuriating, but goes against beliefs of the majority of Americans while bypassing American parents through an invasive abuse of power. It's just incredible how they can say things like this. First of all, nobody is forced to do anything. It's basically a school decision. And yeah, schools can force kids to study things. But that's sort of how schools are. Anyway, the speech happened today. And, you know, if you watch this thing and you realize how incredibly positive it was to talk to school kids about staying in school. Now, I suppose there'll be a Republican retort to that, saying how kids should not stay in school or whatever. But it's really just arguing for the sake of arguing and trying to get somebody painted in as dark and demonic a way as possible. Playing on people's fears. According to the White House last week, the goal of the speech and the lesson plans is to challenge students to work hard, stay in school, and dramatically reduce the dropout rate. This isn't a policy speech. It's a speech designed to encourage kids to stay in school. And I don't know. I think they dropped the lesson plan, which I think is kind of silly. Why not? Why not talk about it? Why not think about what he actually said? It's hardly following blindly when you discuss something. Anyway, so the speech happened today. Let's see if we have some reactions to it. Let's see what people said here. Utah, from the Salt Lake Tribune. President, you know they spelled Barack wrong in the Salt Lake Tribune. How is that possible? President spelled without the C. Barack Obama delivered his much-debated speech to school children on Tuesday, sticking to scripted talking points on the importance of education, personal responsibility, good study habits, and hard work. And mark my words, they're going to say, well, he was going to say something else. Yeah, he was gonna indoctrinate our youth and say all kinds of things and pull them into socialism and tell them to embrace Al-Qaeda and hate America and things like that. But we got to him. We got him to say something different. I mean, they're going to have to say that because they just look like such idiots for objecting to something like this. Obama said, I'm calling on each of you to set your own goals for your education and to do everything you can to meet them. Every single one of you has something that you're good at. Every single one of you has something to offer. Sounds like communism to me, actually. Leading up the controversial talk. It's amazing how this is labeled as controversial. Only because a bunch of loudmouths simply objected to it like they'll object to anything he does. Like they're objecting to all these town hall meetings and just shouting people down and being disruptive and changing the agenda and making people believe that they actually speak for a lot of people. Well, if they actually speak for a lot of people, let a lot of people speak. How about that? They don't want that. They want to shout. They want to intimidate. They want to stop the dialogue. Anyway, parents and conservative groups voiced opposition to a perceived federal intrusion into local school affairs. Following the pushback, districts in Texas, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Virginia, and Wisconsin decided to not show the speech to students. Nebo School District in Utah followed suit, issuing a directive last week against televising the speech in class. Canyon School District wouldn't allow elementary schools to show it. Yeah, mission accomplished, eh? But most Utah schools left the decision to teachers, allowing parents to have their kids opt out. Students who did watch, including 64 predominantly white AP history students at Alta High, say what resonated most was Obama's personal narrative of rising from underprivileged roots to the White House. I didn't know his dad died, said 16-year-old Joseph Gibbons. My dad died when I was young, too. It made him seem more real. On the political spectrum, Gibbons said most of his peers considered themselves conservative, but most came to class Tuesday with open minds and walked away thinking Obama's message was appropriate and right on point. No one chose to opt out. There was no hidden agenda, said 15-year-old Nicole Moody of Draper. Travis Skeen disagreed, saying the speech was a political stunt meant to improve Obama's popularity. People will forever remember this day and look back and say, wow, what a great guy he was, said the 16-year-old. Brent Palmer, principal at Barrett Elementary School in American Fork, it's a strange name, American Fork, said he and the school's PTA decided not to show the speech Tuesday after about 80 parents called to say they didn't want their kids watching it. Elementary schools that feed into Alta High and other secondary schools in the Canyon School District didn't air the speech due to district-wide testing and technical challenges. Okay, technical challenges, I guess it is a bit difficult. Canyon School District board member Kevin Cromar hopes to remedy that by allowing elementary teachers to air recordings of the speech. Any presidential address has educational and historical value that's worth preserving in our schools, said Courtney Droz, a counselor at Mount Nebo Junior High. In addition to issuing an edict barring the speech, Nebo officials also cautioned teachers against watching it in their offices and during prep time in case a student should walk by and see it. Yeah, we're in Crazyville, folks. This is what's happening here. Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, let's look at some other responses to this. Let's see. Where is this? This is... I hate when they don't tell you where a particular place is. Oh, this is in Boston. Okay. While schools and parents around the country debated the appropriateness of showing President Barack Obama's back-to-school speech to students, one Needham High School teacher emphasized it as a history lesson. Part of it was because of the controversy, said Betsy Sugamorelli of her decision to incorporate the speech into her freshman world history class. Now we have something to debate. Since school just started, her freshmen are learning the basic skills needed to be good history students, which includes things like analyzing primary sources, the speech is an example of one, and evaluating bias. Students attentively watched the speech live today, at least until the bell rang, when most left and missed the end. I guess it's impossible to schedule this to to not happen during class breaks everywhere. Sigmarelli said she'll ask them tomorrow to talk about whether Obama revealed any bias in his speech and also to dissect what caused the controversy over whether his speech should be aired. Some students gave the president's address high marks. Freshman Eloise Terry called it inspirational. "I like that he didn't talk about school from an adult's point of view," she said. "He talked about it as someone who has had the same experiences. He's experienced failures and successes, so he knows what they're both like." Freshman Sarah Pearson said she appreciates that the president seems to care that students do well. She said it makes students want to live up to expectations. Pearson said she was particularly touched by his remarks that quitting school is not just letting yourself down, but letting your country down. Yeah, it's controversial, isn't it? That kind of jumped out at me because we are the future of America, she said. If everyone quits, there would be nothing. Jonathan Pizzi, the school's principal, said he left it up to each teacher to decide whether or not to show the president's speech in class. He didn't know how many teachers chose to do so, but no one, neither parents nor teachers, expressed any concern to him about the issues that seemed to shake up other school districts. The only real questions he fielded from teachers were logistical, because the speech overlapped to lunch periods. And then you had parents like Springfield. Again, I don't know where this is. Let's just say Springfield, where the Simpsons live. Springfield parent Rebecca Casado, who feared President Obama's school speech was a socialistic idea of getting to kids when they're young. "I'm almost in fear that's an indoctrination thing. We saw this kind of stuff in other countries." She was still contemplating whether to keep her middle school daughter out of school on Tuesday. But her son, Alex, says he wants to hear the president speak no matter what the topic is on. So there. Oh, boy. It's so sad. It really is. And here's the clincher to the whole thing. Reagan did the same thing. In fact, the first Bush did the same thing. Listen to this. "Putting aside possible ulterior motives, the conservative freakout over President Obama's planned speech to students, urging them to stay in school and work hard, is due to fears that Obama will use this platform as an opportunity to push his agenda on unsuspecting students. Ironically, that's exactly what President Reagan did two decades ago. On November 14th, 1988, Reagan addressed and took questions from students from four area middle schools in the old executive office building. According to Press Secretary Marlon Fitzwater, the speech was broadcast live and rebroadcast by C-SPAN, an instructional television network fed the program to schools nationwide in three different days. Much of Reagan's speech that day covered the American vision of self-government and the need to keep faith with the unfinished vision of the greatness and wonder of America. But in the middle of the speech, the president went off on a tangent about the importance of low taxes. He said, "Today, to a degree never before seen in human history, one nation, the United States, has become the model to be followed and imitated by the rest of the world. But America's world leadership goes well beyond the tide towards democracy. We also find that more countries than ever before are following America's revolutionary economic message of free enterprise, low taxes, and open world trade. These days, whenever I see foreign leaders, they tell me about their plans for reducing taxes and other economic reforms that they are using, copying what we have done here in our country." Wow. I wonder if they realize that the vision of economic freedom, the freedom to work, to create and produce, to own and use property without the interference of the state, was central to the American Revolution. When the American colonists rebelled against a whole web of economic restrictions, laws, and barriers to free trade. The message at the Boston Tea Party. Have you studied yet your history about the Boston Tea Party? Where because of a tax, they went down and dumped the tea in the harbor. Well, that was America's original tax revolt. And it was the fruits of our labor. It belonged to us and not to the state. And that truth is fundamental to both liberty and prosperity. You know, you just got to look at this to realize how incredibly hypocritical these people are to not object to this. Probably not even know about this, even though it was a mere 20 years ago. And to freak out over not even knowing what somebody is going to say, just because you're afraid of the person. And why are you afraid of the person? Why are you terrorizing yourself so greatly? All you have to do is look around. Look around the blogosphere. Look around the internet. Look even in mass media to see the incredible reaction, the anti-Obama reaction that is starting to spread in ways that are kind of scary. I'm all for opposition. I'm all for debate. I'm all for criticizing somebody. But this goes beyond that. This is hatred. This is saying things like this guy is letting terrorists, letting them free. He's blamed for Lockerbie somehow. Apparently it's some secret phone call or something like that. Basically saying things that encourage people to believe that this guy does not have our best interest at heart and is basically dedicated to tearing the country apart. I even saw a comment about this, about how, yeah, you know, I'm aware of what Reagan said. I'm aware of both Reagan and Bush doing this before, but the difference was they loved their country, and this man does not. And that was not an isolated instance. That resulted in a lot of choruses of, yeah, right on, exactly. So people being led around, and much of this this outlash against giving a simple speech to kids, much of that was led by conservative talk radio. They have so much power, they're able to whip people up into a frenzy. And it's scary. And I'm not saying you have to disallow this kind of thing, because that's part of a free society. People say things that are untrue. People are filled with nonsense sometimes. But we have to identify it. We have to recognize it. We have to be honest with what it is that's going on out there. And not allow them to get away with the simple lies that they're spreading. And boy, do they spread the lies. Listen to this guy. This guy from, I don't even know if this is a real newspaper or not. It's called the Pulaski County Daily. And these days, you don't know if you're reading a newspaper that actually prints or just something that some guy publishes on his ancient Commodore 64 or something. The title is Obama's Presidency the Crisis Joe Biden Had Warned About? Remember when Biden said it will not be 6 months before the world tests Barack Obama? Watch, we're going to have an international crisis, a generated crisis to test the mettle of the guy. Well, actually, that didn't happen, did it? Not really. I mean, there have been plenty of crises. But nothing dramatic and major, just a lot of domestic crises. Well, it's been 8.5 months since they won. And his gaffer vice president entered office. And the only crisis I can detect, or crises I can detect, are fantasized by their administration. Yeah. Joe Biden, more cagey than credited, was merely setting the scenario by which this president chooses to rule. Imagine disasters such as health care, the stimuli, all kinds of other things like that, I suppose. The evidence of his disdain. Actually, let me read the paragraph before that, because that is rather significant. True evil does exist in the world, but our dear leader, a reference to North Korea, our dear leader, seems quite content to insert his own misery in his attempt to bring us all down to the lowest common denominator. This way he can, quote-unquote, change an America he hates. The evidence of his disdain for the United States is he apologizes to the world and especially Arab Muslims overseas. Yeah, I don't think an apology was ever uttered. I think what was uttered was a dialogue, which I guess to many of these people is the same thing as apologizing simply by speaking. What else? He listened attentively for 20 years to Reverend Wright's weekly America-bashing sermons. Well, it's funny, he didn't really start bashing America until quite recently, after he had an audience beyond his small congregation. Okay, what else? Takeover of the banks and auto biz. Well, you know, they kind of fell apart. They kind of disintegrated into nothingness. Maybe he's saving them from complete destruction. But I'm no expert on that. Declaring war on the CIA after both he and his employee, Eric Holder, said they were looking forward, not backward. Yeah, no point in trying to find out what actually happened with torture, I guess. Who wants to hear about that? Freeing terrorists. Yeah. Maybe the Brits, Gordon Brown, got the idea to convince the killers to release. I can't even make this out. It doesn't make much sense. To release the Arab Muslim responsible for the murder of 270 Americans. Basically, he's being blamed for that. He's being blamed for the Scottish releasing the Lockerbie bomber, the person who was convicted of that. And what else? Much ado about swine flu. Apparently, that's his fault, too, or it's being exaggerated, and that's his fault. I'm not even sure. Capitulation in Iraq and Afghanistan. I guess that's what sending more troops to Afghanistan is all about, capitulation. Cap and trade, the largest tax on America ever. Even Obama supporter Warren Buffett has turned against Obama on this. Say goodbye to farms, small businesses, and homes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Barack's speech to an incarcerated audience, our children in school, without clearing it with any school board I know of. Does anyone else smell an Obama youth corps in the making? You see, you say things like this to an audience that doesn't go and investigate alternative viewpoints. And you might actually have people believing this nonsense. I mean, it is funny. There is humor in this. How about this? Putting out a rat on your neighbor direct email to the White House. Still available on a different address. You know what this is? This is when all the healthcare shenanigans were flying around left and right. They were saying things like Obama wants to start death panels and decide who gets to live and who dies and all kinds of other ridiculous stories that people were just swallowing, saying that this is all about socialism. They want to bring socialism to this country. And it was said, I don't know who it was who actually said it, but somebody in the administration said, look, if you see something like this, if you see a lie like this, please send it in to us so we can debunk it. And that has been jumped upon by the right wing as, oh my God, they want us to turn in our neighbors. They want us to turn in people who are criticizing the Obama regime so that they can be sent to more death camps. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And if you look at what was actually said, they're simply interested in debating the issue, in combating these lies. I saw nothing that said, yeah, send us the names of people that are saying these things. Did not see that anywhere. And I imagine these kinds of people don't have the technical ability to figure out how to send a piece of email without stripping out the identity information. That's their problem. It's so pathetic and sad. So here's the thing. This is what's been on my mind in the last week. I have many, many differences and problems with things that are going on in this administration. I'm not pleased with the whole wiretapping thing. I wish we weren't sending more troops to Afghanistan. The list goes on and on. Many things that just simply bug me. Most of them are holdovers from the Bush administration, too. Things that should be simply wiped away. But they're not. We're not moving as quickly in a direction that I want to go in, or at all in that direction. And a lot of my my friends say, yeah, this is proof that they're just the same. Everyone's just the same, which I think is nonsense. I mean, it's not just the same. Yeah, there are similarities, and the reason there are similarities is because one person does not define the entire government. And that's probably a good thing. But you can't change things overnight, not without being a dictator. There are all kinds of other forces at work here. And just look at the healthcare problem. What's going on with that? There's definitely a will to change things. And even with a majority of Democrats in the Senate and in the House, and with a Democratic president, you can't just change it overnight. You can't even change it in a year. Because there are still tactics that are used by the opposition that will make it very difficult, if not impossible. Now there are Democrats who are saying they're not going to go along with these radical, even though they're not that radical, changes that other people want to make in the healthcare system. So what this means is that the only way anything is going to change is if some kind of compromise is reached. And then if Obama does that, he'll be criticized as being weak and caving into the Republicans. But if he doesn't do that, he has nothing. And maybe that's a better thing. But I looked at a poll today on CNN.com, and the question was, are you happy with your health insurance coverage? 61% of the people said yes. Only 33% of the people said no. I don't get that, because most everybody I talk to, in fact, I don't know anybody who is happy with their health care. So either these polls are completely skewed, or it's a very lopsided society we live in. But what's been on my mind over the last several days, even weeks, is that we spend a lot of time saying how many things are not right, how many things should be moved further and faster in a particular direction. And then we see this kind of backlash when things move even a little bit. This hysterical ranting and the craziness that's being thrown out there, where you can't even give a speech in front of school kids without being accused of God knows what. And it made me realize that, okay, you know, we've got our problems and they've got their problems with the same person. But if we all lump ourselves together at the same time, we can make it so that it's impossible for him to do anything. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be critical. What I am saying is, let's try and understand that it's not as easy as we think it is. That we can't just move in a particular direction and fix healthcare and fix the educational system and fix all of this. Because there are so many people that are pulling in the other direction. And if we're pulling in a third direction, it's going to make it all the harder to move in the direction that we're trying to go in the first place. So right now, what I think should be done is we should all be battling these fools who are spreading lies, who are saying things that are completely unfounded and untrue, making things like talking to kids difficult, if not impossible, calling people socialist and terrorist and aliens and all kinds of other crazy things. Let's fight those people first. Because if we all fight them together, then we might defeat them. But if we all fight Obama at the same time, well, you know what happens in elections when you have three people running against each other and you don't have coalitions. For now, I think it makes more sense to turn these people into a minority, a powerless minority. And then, once we do that, once we're actually moving in a direction, once we've broken free of them, then we can start making sure that we do things right. I don't know. Just what's been on my mind the last few days, watching this utter nonsense going on. Okay, I'd like to go to the phones, like I promised. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. And I think we've certainly given people a lot to talk about. So let's go into delay and see what's out there.
Hi, this is Arthur Lee of Love, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, here we are in delay. Again, our phone number, 631-632-9872. And I'd like to hear from people if they have other opinions on this, feelings, thoughts, concerns. Yeah, we know you're out there. 631-632-9872. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Is this Stony Brook University?
Stony Brook University, you're on the radio right now.
Great.
You ought to turn down your radio, though, because it'll be confusing otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Can you turn down your radio?
Let me turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. That might be good, too. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen, you got a good speech there. That's very good. And you're 100% right.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But feel free to disagree on anything if you want.
Go after these people who just rip everything apart.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go forward with people making up this total BS.
Mm-hmm.
I just listened to you while I was coming down Sunrise Highway, and I think you read it the right way.
Well, thanks. That means a lot.
I just came from the pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
I had to switch my health care because I couldn't afford the other one. So I don't know who the 61% are. But I've been getting drained.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of people who work for...
A lot of people get their health care paid by their employer.
Exactly, yes.
And they're afraid that there's going to be a change, and people are taking advantage of that. And if you just look at the bottom line,
mm-hmm.
and the people who don't have health insurance and what that's costing us, then I guess you know it's time to move.
Yeah. Interesting. When I was overseas, I talked to a number of people about healthcare, about how it's dealt with in their countries. Everybody has a different system, and everybody complains about their system. There's something wrong every place. You either have to wait too long, or the care isn't what you want it to be. The one thing that everybody was shocked at when I asked them this question was, have you ever heard of anybody in your country losing their home because they got sick? And nobody could even conceive of that happening. And that's what we have here in this country.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call.
Besides polls, Quinnipiac used to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I did some polls. I went to Southampton College, which is gone now. It's part of Stony Brook.
Yes, but we swallowed it up. That's true.
Yeah, you did. But anyway... And I did the surveys for Hampton Jitney
mm-hmm.
some time ago.
Okay.
And I also had some great professors there. And, what these guys got to do is tell us what the question was that they asked.
Yes.
Because we all know what steering polls are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can steer somebody to answer any question the way you want them to. You know,
that's true.
We all get these calls at home. And, if you're game enough to go into them or whatever, I try to shut them down. You hear the question. If so-and-so, it's the old question. How long has it been since you stopped beating your wife?
Right, right, yes.
You can prove anything with a poll. Andrew Cohart, who's on TV all the time, I always want to know, what was the question you asked, to get this poll? And until we start seeing the questions, don't publish the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Good point. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Be on the air. Bye-bye.
631-632-9872. We have time for a couple more. I'd like to read some letters, too. Our email address, otw@2600.com. We're actually getting more letters than we can read. In the brief time we have, but please don't let that dissuade you from sending more letters in, because we do love reading them. Dear Emmanuel and crew, I've been listening to Off the Wall and on and off with Off the Hook for several years. I really love the show. makes the world seem a little smaller, and I look forward to catching your take on the week. When I heard your show talking about brain damage and its beginnings, and then the beginnings of Off the Wall, I was a bit surprised to realize I've been listening since the near start. Well, you've been listening since the near start if you listen to The Voice of Long Island, which is also on our website, www.2600.com. Go listen to them all and have a blast. Anyway, the reason I'm writing is to ask about your recordings of the London Underground announcements. Yeah, I played this a few weeks ago. In particular, the one about smoking in the lift. It's from the Northern Line, right? It sounds exactly like the lift at Tufnell Park, where I'm living for the past 2 years. And I just had to write in to see if maybe you could confirm you recorded it in that elevator. I am blown away that here I am sitting at a microphone at Stony Brook playing a recording that I made at some random tube stop in London. And I get a listener who not only is familiar with the recording, but knows exactly what elevator I was standing in. That is incredible. You're right. Yes, it was Tufnell Park. I mean, that I'm sure they tell people not to smoke in other parts of the underground as well, but wow. Yeah, that's incredible. I always find it odd that they randomly declare no smoking halfway through the lift ride to the top, especially at rush hour when it's full of commuters that you'd imagine know the ins and outs of the tube. I do strangely enjoy it, though, when you're at a modernist station like Westminster or London Bridge in particular, and they have the sci-fi style woman monotonously calling out generic announcements. Reminds me of Half-Life, so I can kind of pretend I'm some dystopian Blade Runner-style future. Until I actually hit the exit, at least. I just like to finish this off with a thanks for all the shows over the years. I really love listening. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but you do make me laugh, and I think a lot of what you say is spot on. Thanks, James, for that amazing letter and for really making me realize, wow, it is a small world. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Mount Sinai, New York.
Okay, great. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I was just listening to the program, as always. Last week, I couldn't get through. I was in my car, but I didn't have a phone. So I know you wanted people to call, but I felt like you thought nobody was listening, but we were.
Sometimes I feel that way, yes. But I know there are people out there.
Well, don't. I look forward to it every week.
Well, great, great. Anything on your mind for this week?
Well, you were talking about health care, and, you know, I really just see this as just another a bailout for the healthcare industry because they themselves have been, they're at the brink of, you know, they can't sell a product because it's just too darn expensive. Just like, I mean, you could build all these $300,000 and $400,000 houses, but if you only have Walmart jobs to go to work to, I mean, how can you afford to buy what they're selling? So therefore, they're out of business and they won't admit it, you know? So same thing with healthcare. I think that this is really just a bailout of the healthcare industry, or I should say, the combination of the insurance industry as well as the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry combined.
Well, do you think they need a bailout? Do you think they actually need a bailout? I think they want things the way they are, where they're making a ton of
money. They're a pariah on a society when you consider the fact that any time, you know, you could work your whole life and still not have enough money to afford your demise, you know, of your health.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, you're just a sinking ship from day one. It don't even pay to go to work and save your money because if they're just going to take it in the end. For, I mean, a perfect example is if you go to the hospital and you see, you know, they charge you $50 for an aspirin or
right,
whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's just insanity. I mean, I went to the dentist not too long ago, and I needed to get a tooth crowned. And, you know, the woman said, oh, well, that's going to cost you $1,600 to do it.
Oh, my God.
When she realized I didn't have insurance, and she said, oh, well, we could do it for $7. So, I mean, that in itself reveals that there is a fallacy. There's something wrong when they can do something for a third of the price, they're looking to charge the insurance company because I guess the insurance company only pays so much. But I just see, you know, when I call a police officer or I call a fire department, I don't have to have insurance to have them to show up.
It's exactly. And that's a good indication of quote-unquote socialism right there because, you know, these are government services that exist for everybody to use.
Sure. Well, you know, I have a buddy who's a police officer in Suffolk County, and great guy. I love him dearly, and he's a super, super nice person. But he's like, you know, he was having these tea parties and stuff where all upset that somebody's going to get health care. And, you know, I look at him, and meanwhile, you know, I basically say, well, me as a taxpayer, I'm his employer, so why would I give him why should he have what I don't? As a taxpayer, shouldn't I also be able to partake in what he has the luxury of having? Just as, you know, I mean, I don't see anybody burning flags or having tea parties over the school system. I mean, you know, my buddy, he makes probably in excess of $150,000 a year as a police officer.
Wow.
And yet I have to pay to put his kids through school.
Where is he a cop that makes that kind of money?
Yeah, yeah, on Suffolk County, they most certainly do.
Really? I know it. Wow, I should start taking that exam.
They make. And, you know, it's just, you know, they don't mind socialism when it's the libraries, when mm-hmm. it's the schools, when it's, you know, the fire department.
Or when it's
police.
Medicare, even. Medicare is definitely socialism, if you want to use that definition. Listen, sir, we're out of time, but let's continue this conversation next week, okay?
Sure, and thank you, and you have a great evening.
All right, you take care. And let me close off with one more letter, because I just wanted to read this letter, because it really made my day. Dear Emmanuel, this week at the start of the show, you talked about college and whatnot, last week, actually. And I just want to say this really made me feel better about myself as a person. I'm currently going through some of the same issues that you were facing in college, and thanks for making me feel just so much better about myself. Ben, thank you so much for writing in and making us feel good here about doing something and talking about issues and reaching people and things like that. That's what it's all about. Okay, we're out of time, and I encourage people to watch the speech tomorrow night. I think 8 o'clock, Obama talking about health care and really laying it down on the line. We'll see where health goes in this country. Do you have to be young and healthy to survive? We'll find out. Good night.
I'm young and healthy, and you've got charms. It would really be a sin not to have you in my arms. I'm young and healthy, and so are you. When the moon is in the sky, tell me, what am I to do? If I could hate you, I'd keep away. But that ain't my nature. I'm full of vitamin A, say. I'm young and healthy, so let's be bold. In a year or two or three, maybe we will be too old. That vitamin A, I want to say I'm young and healthy, so let's be bold. In a year or two or three, maybe we will be too old.